At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
What is the state of Michigan football post Jim Harbaugh? 8-5 is never good enough in Ann Arbor. Everyone knows that. But in the middle of that, you find a way to beat your biggest rivals. You find a way to beat the eventual national champs. You find a way to beat Alabama, and you sign the highest rated recruit in program history. That was the building year for 2025 for you to showcase to the world you are still and always will be a premier brand in college football.
What's up, college football junkies, and welcome to another edition of Crane & Company. We appreciate you making us a daily watch or listen, because without you, there is no us. If you're not subscribed, please go ahead and do it. We're just happy to see you guys. Got another great regular season prediction show for you today. Remember, single team, and why not? We've already done Ohio State. We've already done Georgia. We've already done Alabama. If you haven't seen those, check them out. Today, we're going to stay in the Big Ten with David Cone, former Michigan quarterback's alma mater, the Michigan Wolverines. As usual, Blaine Crane, former Western State Colorado wide receiver, is.
That doesn't mean those other teams are better than Michigan.
Say that again?
They went first. That doesn't mean that, right?
Oh, we'll see. I mean,
Ohio State didn't win it.
Record predictions. So
you have to put them in.
You have to accept that, David. They did win it. They did win it.
Carry on.
Y'all beat them, but they did win it. All right, just to let you guys know, we're going to go game by game, but these are just the regular season predictions. The 12-game regular season schedule slate. We are going to get to who we think is going to win the Natty, who's going to win the Heisman, who's going to make the playoff, and who's going to win what conference here in a couple weeks as we're barreling toward college football season. But when you look at this Michigan team, and Cone, I do want to cede the floor to you for most of this. We hear about Bryce Underwood. We're waiting to see, can he become what we think and what some others think he can be, or even get close to it as a true freshman playing. But when you look at the rest of this Michigan roster, offensively, defensively, and even special teams, where you feel good, obviously, about your place kicking, where do you feel like this Michigan team ranks from a roster standpoint, from a talent standpoint, as compared to what we've seen the last 3 to 5 years for Michigan?
Look, last year was a very interesting year because you're coming off of a national championship and you're sending, 13, 14 guys to the NFL in like a program record-breaking year. But you still have marquee names at key positions, right? Mason Graham was coming back. Kenneth Grant. You got Will Johnson. We had Colston Loveland. There was a time where it was like all of those players could be the best players in the country at their position. Yeah. But what is the depth like? Because so many seniors who came back to win that Natty, they left and they went to the NFL. What's the depth going to be like? Brand new head coach with Jim Harbaugh going to the NFL. And we saw what it was, 8-5. I want to get into that a little bit more towards the end. 8-5 is never good enough in Ann Arbor. But even though now you've sent a lot of, you sent a lot of more marquee names to the NFL, like Mason Graham and like Will Johnson and those guys, I think that the depth, I'm particularly interested in the depth this year, particularly on defense, and with Wink Martindale coming back as the defensive coordinator. Now, some questions that I have are, what is the growth throughout a season going to be like if you're going to start a true freshman at quarterback in this day and age? First off, in college football, for its entirety, you've had to grow throughout a season to be able to win a championship. But now it's even more the case when you talk about an expanded playoff. Look what the Buckeyes did a year ago. They were 10-2 in the regular season. They wouldn't have made a 4-team playoff. And they go on this generational run after losing to Michigan, and they're national champs. What kind of growth can you get through from this Michigan team throughout a season when you're starting a true freshman at quarterback? And how can those seniors this year rally around young players like that?
Blaine, when you look at this Michigan team, to me, it does mirror what we've seen and what the biggest narrative, I think, going into this college football season is big brands with really good rosters around a new quarterback, whether that's a guy that's been there for a while that's getting his shot now, like a Ty Simpson, or that's somebody that's brand new, like a Bryce Underwood, or looking at a Julian Sand. When you look at the rest of this Michigan roster around Bryce Underwood, who's, I think we can go and say he's going to be the starter, right? We feel pretty good about saying that. Where does this Michigan roster stack up against the Texases, against the Georgias, against the Alabamas, against the Ohio States, against teams that are kind of in it, that similar category of trust but verify with a new quarterback?
Well, I think defensively, you could probably line up Michigan against anybody in the country, and I feel good from a skill standpoint of them matching up. What I'm kind of worried about, and I don't, outside of the quarterback position, is probably the receiver room. I mean, you still waiting for that big guy to step up, not only one, but a couple to step up and put his name in the limelight to help a guy like Bryce Underwood. But let's not get confused when it comes to Michigan. In my opinion, they have athleticism. They have talent. I mean, look at the draft. I love what Wink Martindale does, but it's going to come down to quarterback play. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's Bryce Underwood, because you have – listen to these names. Wilton Spate, John O'Korn, Shea Patterson, Cade McNamara, Jack Tuttle, Alan Bowman, Alex Orji, and Davis Warden. Michigan has struggled trying to find a high-end quarterback. Who broke that? J.J. McCarthy, right? You bring a guy in like J.J. McCarthy, you see you drinketh from the cuppeth. Can Bryce Underwood be anything like J.J. McCarthy? Because J.J. McCarthy was a good college quarterback, in my opinion. But what won Michigan the national championship is what surrounded J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. So if Bryce Underwood can grow into the guy we think he can this season, Michigan's roster is definitely good enough, one, to get him to a playoff, and two, probably win a national championship.
Well, let me just counter with a couple points. In part, I agree with you, and I want to counter with a couple things here. One, the Cade McNamara year was the first time Michigan won those 13 games and made the college football playoff and was able to beat the Buckeyes and win the Big Ten. And that was even before J.J. McCarthy took the reins, right? Talking about Jim Harbaugh being able to figure out the entire roster and the depth. I want to go even further back to 2004. Matt Gutierrez was supposed to be the starting quarterback that year, got hurt right before week one. Chad Henne has to take over as a true freshman week one. That Michigan team goes 9-3 and plays Texas in the Rose Bowl with Chad Henne starting as a true freshman. Granted, Mike Hart was a freshman that year too, rushed for 1,400 yards, and they had Braylon Edwards on the outside. They had guys like David Bass, experienced guys on the line of scrimmage. That's an example here of, okay, true freshman at quarterback, but can the depth around him really sort of, you know, provide that blanket that you need to be able to withstand games on the road like Oklahoma or having to host the Buckeyes late in the year? My question for you guys is, let's just say something changes, right? Let's say something changes and maybe there's an injury to Bryce Underwood, God forbid. We're not, you know, I'm not trying to plan for anyone to get hurt, but what if it's Mikey Keene, the transfer in from Fresno State? How much would your prediction for Michigan season change with a quarterback who may not have the ceiling that Bryce Underwood has, but comes in with more experience if it's Mikey Keene?
Well, I think you look at the schedule. I honestly, right now, don't think it would change much for me, because a lot of what I'm looking at when we get in this Michigan schedule, which I think isn't easy, but when you get in a conference play, I think it's very favorable to Michigan, where when you just go through these games, David, even whether it's Bryce Underwood or Mikey Keene, when I look at them, I'm only counting one, maybe three, and it's probably two, where you're going to have a roster that's equal to yours. Not better per se. Maybe you can make the argument that Ohio State's is better. Maybe you can make an argument that Oklahoma's could be better, and you've got to go on the road to play Oklahoma. But when I look at the rest of this schedule, New Mexico, no. Central Michigan, no. Nebraska, no. Wisconsin, no. USC, no. Washington, no. Michigan State, no. Purdue, no. Northwestern, no. Maryland, no. So I don't know. I think Michigan could go 10-2, and we not know how good they really, really are once it gets down to going to the playoff or something like that. So I don't know if it's as much about that as, will this Michigan team give games away? Because if they don't,
that's
like,
where I was
that's
gonna go. That's my question, because while Jim Harbaugh at times, particularly early in his tenure, struggled in rivalry games, and you know, Michigan State proved to be a problem, he couldn't beat Urban Meyer. You know, we couldn't, and once you, when you can't beat the Buckeyes, you can't make it to the Big Ten Championship or the college football playoff. That's what makes his last 3 years so fascinating. But he was beating the teams in the Big Ten that he was supposed to beat.
Yeah.
Is Sherrone Moore going to do the same thing? Right? We've seen Sherrone Moore already win big games. He's already won the big games. Can he, throughout a season, you know, go on the road and handle a Maryland, right? Can you go on the road and beat Southern California if you have a better roster?
Well, in that same vein that you're talking about, I think that's what James Franklin does really, really well.
Yeah.
Nobody beats who they're supposed to beat like James Franklin does. It's the games where there's equal or you have less talent overall than the other team that he struggled to win. And those typically are harder games to win, but it just feels like James Franklin now at Penn State is doing what Harbaugh did until Harbaugh, you know, finally turned the corner and was able to get that. And we're going to see with Sherrone. But look, there's a beauty in setting yourself up to, again, look at Ohio State. You go 10-2 last year. Wasn't the greatest regular. You didn't look like the most dominant team in the country all year. Then all of a sudden, holy hell, man, that light switched on. You started whipping ass left and right. I mean, it was the plot to a Batman movie at the end of the year. So I don't know. Could Michigan be that team if the light clicks on? I'm just wonder, Cone, at wide receiver and at running back and at tight end. Blaine brought up J.J. McCarthy. You have Blake Corum. I can go through the list of dogs that Michigan had and on the offensive line, but at skill position. How good is this wide receiver group? How good is this running back room? And how good are the tight ends?
I'll say the same thing about Michigan wide receiver room that I've said for the last couple years. There's potential there to make plays. Samaj Morgan can be a great football player. Do I see someone out there like Braylon Edwards, who I'm like, man, that guy's going to win the Biletnikoff right there? No, I don't. And I haven't seen that for a number of years. Does Michigan need that? Right? Like, they didn't necessarily have that guy when they won a national championship. Really good wide receivers who are in the NFL right now. But again, I'm talking about Jeremiah Smith, Biletnikoff winner type stuff. Justice Haynes at running back coming in from Alabama.
Yeah.
That's what I'm really interested to see. Do you carry on the lineage that's been started when you talk about Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins and some of these running backs recently with a group of guys who haven't lost to the Buckeyes? Like there's some pride in the locker room right now to say, hey, not on our watch.
Yeah, I think one name to look out for is probably that Donovan McCulley kid.
From Indiana.
6'5", big body.
He's
a veteran. I would think he'd probably be his number one target when it comes to Bryce. And I'm telling you, Justin Haynes, if you didn't watch this kid at Alabama, he's going to be a name to look out for.
They had him and Julian Saint.
He's from Buford, right?
Yeah.
He just built the new
$60 million
stadium.
Yeah, could probably punch through a steel wall, runs downhill. Yeah.
He's got some fantastic
field,
for sure.
Quick laterally. So I'm just telling you, Bryce is going to have a couple pieces there for him to succeed. So we'll see.
All right. So we're about to go through game by game. All right. Give you our individual picks. We want to know in the comments, what do you have Michigan going this year? Remember, ended the season with some momentum. As crazy as it was, you beat Ohio State on the road. Then you beat Alabama in the bowl game. But they kick off the 2025 season at home against the New Mexicans from New Mexico. I'm going to mark this.
Quickly. The over-under for win totals for Michigan's 9.5.
The over
is going off at +140.
Okay.
Money's
line on the under. So the money's probably lying at 9-3. That's probably what people are falling towards. So New Mexico game one at home. I think this is a nice little test for Bryce Underwood. Get his feet wet a little bit against an opponent you're superior than. I tell you, if New Mexico still had their quarterback, remember, he transferred to Utah. That dude was a dog. He kind of lit Auburn up a little bit last year when they went to Jordan-Hare. But I got Michigan winning this one. Bryce Underwood gets off to a good start. We agree there?
Yeah, I think Michigan will win this game without passing. Without throwing one.
Seen him do it before.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this game, I love this matchup so much. And it's not because Sharon Moore went to Oklahoma. I just love this matchup. These are two traditional brands, and they're playing home in homes the way that God intended it to be for college football. But Michigan is going to Oklahoma. You've watched this show. And I will say, I want to give you two guys credit here. And I'll just deflect credit from myself as well.
No, that was a first.
You know, why do you got to be a douche?
Here we go. No, keep it going.
Hold on. Like, I want to hear
can
that.
Can I just finish just one time?
Go ahead, Kanye.
We were on the, and we'll see if it works out. Because if Oklahoma ends up not being great, it's not going to matter. But we were on this Oklahoma bandwagon with Mateer and what they did through the portal, through us knowing Jim Nagy, feeling like this Oklahoma team's going to turn around and be really, really talented, a playoff caliber team early. I'm talking about March. Into March. Now, all of a sudden, the rest of college football media is just coming to the conclusion that, hey, Oklahoma has got a chance to be really good. I just want you guys to remember out there, all right, if it does come to fruition that Oklahoma ends up being pretty damn good, we said it first. We said it first. And hey, everybody else
it wasn't just about the players that transferred in, but they retained their talent, too.
For sure.
Remember when there were reports in spring and March and April that, like, some of these guys might transfer out of Oklahoma. They were able to keep them there. Well, that's a big part of it, too. Not only did you bring in high-level talent, but you retained the guys who were there.
And I think the embarrassment factor for Oklahoma this year, which is the ultimate fuel after what Texas did last year and what happened to OU with the anomalous injuries, the craziness, I don't think the offensive line is going to be that bad under Coach Biedenball ever again. I've got Oklahoma statement win, week two, Bryce Underwood's first road game in a very, very hostile environment. Not that it's going to be a blowout, but I think Oklahoma can hang with Michigan up front. And I think Mateer's creative improvisational ability against Michigan at the end of the day will be the difference. I think you look at Deion Burks, you look at Giovanni Gibson, you look at Jade Knott, But the offensive line's going to tell the story of this game. Not that they're going to dominate Michigan, but I think they'll hold up good enough to let Mateer do what he does. And it's hard to have Heisman moments this early in the year, but I think this is going to start the conversation and driving it forward of, hey, this Mateer kid from Washington State is actually for real. Give me the Sooners at home.
Who are you taking in this?
Yo, well, this is going to be, I think it's going to be a knockdown, drag out fight, but it's going to come down to, it's not a bird, it's a plane, it's John Mateer. Right, these is the games that John Mateer makes a difference in. I think Bryce plays well. I just think John Mateer is a better player right now. Might end up winning the Heisman. We'll see. It's going to be early. It's going to be week two. But I think Oklahoma, but I think it's close. I think Michigan plays extremely well.
I'll go clean sweep on this one.
Oh, wow.
Right now, the correct pick is Oklahoma for all the reasons you guys mentioned, plus being in Norman, right? They're going to be at home. I know there's going to be extra added motivation for Sharon Moore, that being his alma mater. But Brent Venables needs this. Venables needs this, and a team feels that, right?
Yeah.
A team feels like, hey, our coach needs this game. Our coach needs this season. And for all the reasons we talked about with the talent they brought in, being at home. Right now, look, again, I'm going to be having Oklahoma under a microscope and Michigan under a microscope in week one. I'm going to analyze on every level to see, hey, how can Michigan really go on the road and win this game? But as we sit here right now, only a week into fall camp, I think Oklahoma is the correct pick.
That's right.
All right, so we all have Michigan at 1-1. Then they play Central Michigan. The irony is not lost in this game, being Central Michigan. It's funny to me. Y'all know how we feel about the whole Connor Stallion situation. I'm assuming we all have a win there for Michigan.
I'll never pick Central Michigan to win after what Pinky did to me at punt return.
No, it was Pemberton.
Whatever.
God, that was
I'll
bad.
I'll never forget that guy.
That was bad.
I'll never forget that guy.
That was bad.
Just remember now, Sharon Moore will not be coaching in this game or at Nebraska.
David, y'all could have the Affleck duck coaching.
I'm just...
And y'all
hey,
win by
first
30.
Off... First off, don't make me get PETA involved.
Okay? That's fine. That's fine.
Piper? all right, next game. All right, so we all have Michigan at 2-1. Another fun test. Fourth game at Nebraska. Matt Rhule, the builder. If you look at Dylan Raiola, his second year.
Is this building ever going to be done?
It's no, they're building it the right way.
I mean, what are we
building it the right way?
He's building it his pace.
Permits and stuff like this. Can we just get
to make sure that
when's the water park done?
I've got Michigan going to Nebraska. I think the defense is just too much for the Cornhuskers. Listen, I love they got Dane Key. We did our Nebraska preview with Sean Callahan. I do think though, when I look at just the overall talent on the roster and on the line of scrimmage. You know, Nebraska did lose Tony White. Some Nebraska fans say he's overrated. Okay, I look at the numbers. I don't think he's overrated. We'll see what he does at FSU. I've got Michigan going on the road. Second road start for Bryce Underwood. Has one under his belt. Going to be in another hostile environment, but I think he shows up. I like Michigan to handle business here because I think they're going to win up front.
I looked at this one for a long time, man. Yeah. Nebraska going to be at home. No Sharon Moore for Michigan. I think Nebraska's going to be really good on offense, man, with Dylan Raiola and Dana Holgorsen calling plays. Yep. But like you said, new defensive coordinator. Right now I've got Michigan going on the road, figuring out a way to beat Nebraska.
What do you got,
Mike? I mean, last time these teams played was 2023, Dave. And Michigan, it was belt to ass, right? 45-7. So I just think right now the way Michigan is built, Dylan Raiola, I think it's going to be a close game. I think Nebraska is going to keep this one close. This might be a touchdown, field goal. But I feel like Michigan's defense at the end makes a big play, turnover, sack, and gets it done.
Close. All right.
Close.
Starting a podcast can feel overwhelming. You got scripts, you got setup, you got filming schedules, logos. And we were all trying to figure all that out when we started. But what we did find out is that when you're launching something new, your to-do list, well, it continuously grows daily, threatening to take over your life. And finding a tool that both helps and simplifies can be a game changer. Now, for millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Make that noise on them, David.
Cha-ching!
Blaine, you too.
Ah!
All right, different noise, but we'll take it. Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide and 10% of all U.S. e-commerce. With Shopify, they're behind everyone from big names like Gymshark to that new brand you've just discovered. Now, starting out is simple. You just pick one of their hundreds of templates and customize it to match your style. No design skills needed. And creating content? Well, that's where the AI really shines. You need product descriptions or catchy headlines? Done. You want better product photos? They've got you covered. Now, the best part is how easy marketing becomes. You can reach your customers wherever they are, whether they're doom scrolling through social media or checking their email. Behind the scenes, Shopify handles everything else: inventory, shipping, returns, all those details you don't want to have to worry about, because the truth is, if you're ready to sell something, Shopify is ready for you. So turn your big business idea into
cha-ching
with Shopify on your side. Now sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/crane. That's shopify.com/crain, shopify.com/crane. All right, so we all have them at 3-1, and then they play Wisconsin at home. You know, if this game was on the road, I would have taken a third look at it. You know, I look at Wisconsin and what Luke Fickell's trying to do there. You know, there are some matchups that I think could be stalemates with Wisconsin and Michigan, but this game being at home, I do think at the end of the day, Michigan is able to use that momentum to make more plays. I think this is a game that could be tied at halftime. And we could be sitting here looking, saying, okay, does this mean that Wisconsin is finally arrived more under the Luke Fickell era, or is Michigan not as good as what we thought after losing on the road to Oklahoma, but then getting a big road win at Nebraska? But I think Michigan finds a way. This score, to me, it just feels like a 27-20 type score. Wisconsin scores late to make it a little bit closer. But give me Michigan to start out 4-1, David, with a win at home against Wisconsin.
Yeah, same here. I'm interested to see if Wisconsin can take that next step in their growth. I thought Luke Fickell was a good hire when Wisconsin made it. But Michigan in the big house, and honestly, I'd probably take this one even if it were on the road. Wisconsin always finds a way to make something interesting, right? Like, yeah. they fight hard, but give me Michigan with a win there.
Blaine, can Wisconsin hold up physically in this game?
I think for a half. Well, my big thing is, one, this isn't at home, and two, this is the first game Sherrone Moore is back, right, from suspension. You want to talk about lively. You want to talk about that crowd getting after.
Especially if you're still in the.
And I think Wisconsin has struggled under Luke Fickell, has struggled. And I don't see that roster getting a lot better this year. So I think this one could get a little ugly.
All right. So we all have Michigan at this point, 4-1. Their next game.
This is one that worries me, man.
Is on the road at USC. And I'm going to tell you why it doesn't worry me. Because I think the way Michigan plays is the kryptonite to Lincoln Riley. Even if it gets a little bit more, you know, exciting or exotic with Bryce Underwood, I think the biggest hill for Lincoln to climb is that physicality hill overall from a mindset as a team. I think the way that Michigan plays and the way Michigan plays travels on the road too when it comes to be physical up front, push people around. I know USC has tried to beef up the line of scrimmage, tried to become more competitive there, but I think this is the kryptonite to what Lincoln Riley does, even at home. I know, again, USC's made some moves at position. We're going to see what Maiava can do at quarterback. I just don't think USC is man enough to beat Michigan if it's at home, if it's away, if it's a neutral site, if it's in your grandma's basement. It doesn't matter. I like Michigan in this one to go handle business and do it the old-fashioned.
Boy, this one sure delivered last year. Remember, Will Johnson pick six on Miller Moss. Michigan needs a game-winning drive. It was absolutely thrilling. I'd sure rather get these boys at home, and I'd sure rather get them in November. Los Angeles in October. The sun might be out, you know, plays to their style of football. But I don't think I can put it any better than Jake just said it. I mean, like, you can't keep telling me you're going to be better on defense. Show me that you're better on defense. Show me that you can stop Justice Haynes and these guys running straight at you for four straight quarters. And look, I think Bryce Underwood's going to make plays in this football game. Right now, I got Michigan winning this one, man.
Look, y'all want to hear some crazy numbers. This at last year's game, y'all won 27-24. Alex Orji was 7 for 12 for 32 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mullins.
Checks out.
Mullins, 17 carries. 160 yards.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns.
How about that last drive?
Your leading receiver was Klein for one reception.
Mr. Coach Klein?
For 10 yards. And if you can beat USC like that, and now you bring in Bryce Underwood, who I promise you is going to have more than 32 yards passing, I'm going to take Michigan in this game. But this just smells like a trap game to me. I think it's going to be extremely close. I think USC is going to get up for this. But I do think physicality would be the difference. But this game just not going to be a walkthrough.
Yeah, no. And again, I'm not. I just think the scales are weighted toward Michigan because of their style of play as opposed to what USC does. Now, another reason I was, you know, when I saw this at first, you always got to understand where the bye weeks are. So Michigan will have just played Wisconsin at home, and they had a bye week the week before. So you shouldn't be just unbelievably beat up. USC gets a bye week before they play Michigan. Mm. They play Illinois the week before the bye week on the road. So, again, you do have a week to rest up. You do have an extra week to kind of scout.
And then they go to Notre Dame the next week.
Yeah, and then you go to Notre Dame the next week. So it's not like you can just mail it in. But at the end of the day, I just think Michigan is too much up front, and that's why they win it. So, again, we all have Michigan winning that one.
I'm at 5-1 right now.
I'm also at 5-1. Blaine, you're at 5-1. And then the next week, you face a sneaky Washington team at home. And, you know, when you have a new quarterback, a young quarterback, you're going to go through ups and downs, right? What you hope is that the downs, you're able to make it through those games with a win, right? Where, you know, he's still figuring out some things. I mean, you watched DJ Lagway last year. You see it with young quarterbacks. There's some really nice highs, but it's can you survive the lows? And I think this is a game where Bryce Underwood struggles at home against Washington. Let me just set the scene because I have Washington winning this game.
You have Washington winning
this game? I have Washington winning this game on the road at Michigan.
On the road, okay.
And here's why. Because before this, Michigan would have played Wisconsin at home, which I think is going to be a physical game. Then you have that big road trip out to the West Coast to play USC. I have them winning that one. You got a lot of confidence. The week after you play Washington, who do you got on the road? At Michigan State. The green ones, as Cone calls them. Rivalry game. I look at this Washington team, and at this point, when they play Michigan, I would not be surprised if they already had two losses. I think they're going to lose to Ohio State at home. You got to go on the road to Maryland. We'll see how that one goes. But when I look at Damon Williams, I think there's a couple games he's going to freak out against really good teams and give Washington a chance to win it. I think this is the trap game for Michigan. I think Damon Williams freaks out in this game, finds a way to manipulate this Michigan defense and hit some big plays. I have Washington giving Michigan their second loss at home in between the USC game and the Michigan State game.
Both. Will Washington be balanced enough on offense to do what, say, Steve Sarkisian was able to do to Wink Martindale's defense a year ago?
I think so because the quarterback can run. I think the true
but
zone...
But can he throw?
Yeah, I think he can throw well enough.
Now, I mean, I again, know he can throw. I just mean
that's a question.
Quinn Ewers was dicey.
I've got to be able to see it. But if you're worried about the quarterback running, and we all know this, to be balanced, to be able to open up those receivers, to get Boston off the bracket and some of these other guys, if you show that you can run the ball, and Damon Williams helps that out, I think that takes a little bit of pressure off the coverage and makes the windows easier for him to throw. And I would not be surprised if you saw Jed Fish in this game. Let's just say if Damon is a okay passer, just an okay passer, if you saw over 10 to 12 catches underneath 5 yards, bubbles, things like that, to try and maybe be an extension of the run to open up.
So what's your final score for this game?
I think Washington ends up winning this game in overtime. Give me 31-27.
Hmm. Hmm.
Well, okay. It would end up being, if it's overtime, 30-27 because they wouldn't kick the extra point if they scored.
It's just, you have a Michigan team beating a USC team because of physicality,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, and technically, Washington's less physical than USC. Washington
I don't
run defense,
I don't
was
think
ranked 111.
Was that last year?
Last year.
Yeah.
Right? You give up 161 yards rushing per game.
Yeah.
I mean, in USC,
how many years? How many years has Jed Fish been at Washington? One, two.
Yeah.
This is year two.
Okay. So you think
he needs some time to get his person. I've watched Lincoln Riley's ass be at USC and do the same thing at Oklahoma on defense for the last 12 years. So, like, I know the way that even bringing in.
So you think Jed Fish this year, that defense?
I think they'll be better. Okay. I think they'll be better. But I think, again, it's where this game is in the schedule. They're not going to have to get hyped up.
Let me counter one point on the schedule here, because you mentioned what Michigan has. Let me just rattle off this Washington schedule here leading up to this Michigan game. You're going to have the Apple Cup.
Yep.
On the road playing Washington State.
All right. No John Mateer, though.
Yeah. Then you host the Buckeyes.
Yep.
Then you're going to go all the way from Washington to the East Coast to play Maryland. Mm-hmm. Then you get Rutgers at home before you go all the way back to play Michigan on the road, and that's the week before you're going to host Illinois. That's a lot of back and forth, too, around the country with some really physical teams and important rivalry games with Washington State. You know, I don't think there's a moment for Washington to sort of take that breath and have that bye week the week before the way that at least USC will.
Well, I don't – I totally get what you're saying. My answer to that would be – I think it's going to be more about Michigan overlooking Washington a little bit because, again, at this point, we'll see when we go through the final records of everybody where I have Washington in the games they're losing. But I think by this point in the season, Washington's ass will just be on the line. Like, it'll be if you lose another game, you're cooked. I think they could have two, maybe three losses.
So you have Michigan in this one?
Yes, I do. Okay. I think Michigan, just from a physicality standpoint, I feel better about this game from a physicality standpoint than do I about the USC game.
So then what about Michigan State the next week? And and Michigan's going to East Lansing now.
Yeah. Well, look, so just up to this point, I've got Michigan at 5-2. You've got them at 6-1.
6-1.
6-1. I know how rivalry games are growing up, you know, in Lee County, the Iron Bowl, how crazy it can be. Going on the road, I like Jonathan Smith, and I think eventually he's going to make Michigan State relevant again. My question is, can Aiden Childs throw the ball at all without turning it over? Or is this going to be similar to what we saw last year with the inconsistency in the passing game? And Michigan State was a one-trick pony, and it wasn't even that great of a trick at that. So it could be close. You know, just hope Michigan's not punting late in the game after what we saw last time. But again, I think at this point, coming off a loss to Washington, now Michigan's ass on the line. Because they would have two losses at that point. I think they go on the road and they beat Michigan State and get ready to go play Purdue.
Michigan State played above their roster talent, I believe, a year ago to make this a one-score game with the 24-17 win with Michigan. Far cry from the 49-0, you know, the year before. I think Michigan State does that again. I think they play Michigan really tough. Mm-hmm. I think this might even be like a walk-off field goal sort of win there in East Lansing. I just don't know if they have enough right now. I think Paul Bunyan stays in Ann Arbor, but man, close game.
Yeah, this is typically a fun game.
I got Michigan winning this game 20-17.
20-17. Yep. Okay, so y'all both have it tight. I would not be shocked if it was tight and low scoring. All right, next game, Purdue at home. Actually, let's just go for the next two. You got Purdue at home. Then you got a bye week. Then you go to Northwestern. Just hope they don't have the mask and the lights off. Do we have them winning both of those games?
Yeah, I do.
I have them winning both of those games.
Yes.
Look, Purdue, we understand that the rebuilding project that's going on there. Northwestern was a great story last year with what happened after, you know, the incident of what went on in the locker room, however you feel about that. So then at that point, with two games left, I've got them at 8-2. Y'all have got them at 9-1.
Yes.
Then you play a Maryland team, which I'm really interested to see Maryland's quarterback. Because I'm hearing some things from fall camp like that this dude is a problem. Like he's a big, and if you've ever recruited Maryland and you know how the DMV is, they got some cats running around there that are just Avenger-style athleticism. But with Mike Locksley, can you play complimentary football? Mm-hmm. Can you be consistent? They've been so inconsistent week in and week out at Maryland since he's got there. I think Michigan goes on the road, seeing what they have next week at home against Ohio State, knowing if they get this win, they put themselves in a good position to possibly win the Big Ten, because that loss to Oklahoma has nothing to do with the Big Ten. So it's not like that one hurts you. So you have one Big Ten loss for me up to this point with a chance to obviously make the College Football Playoff, but also play in the Big Ten Championship game. I think they go on the road and they beat Maryland.
I think this is going to be a tough test for Michigan, man. Because think about it. It's one thing to go on the road and play a brand like Oklahoma, especially when you're not favored, which Michigan likely won't be. We'll see. It's one thing to go on the road and play a brand like Southern California in Los Angeles in the Coliseum. It's one thing to go on the road to East Lansing and play Michigan State with Paul Bunyan's trophy on the line. Like, that's one thing. You go on the road, Buckeyes, next week, and if it works out the way I have it, you're on a win streak. You're probably ranked high. You got, you know, are we going to beat the Buckeyes next week? Thanksgiving's around the corner.
So
we just
got to
go on the road,
game.
And we just got to get Maryland out of the way. That's not how it works in this league. You're going to have a young quarterback if things are working out the way that we're talking about. I think that Mike Locksley finds a way to make this game very interesting. I have a check mark for Michigan right now on the road winning this game. But I don't think this is one that you can just fill in and just move right on to the Buckeyes the next week.
Yeah, I looked at this game a little, probably longer than I should have. I feel a little bit better about it because of the two teams you play before it, right? I mean, you got Northwestern and Purdue. Going to be somewhat hard-fought games, but I think you're going to come to this game really
You don't healthy. Have to make them feel better.
Yeah.
You don't have to say
you're going to come to this game really, really healthy. I don't think Bryce has a great game. I don't, but I think Michigan's defense is going to keep them in a lot of football games this year, like they usually do anyways, right? I think this game's going to be close. But I do think Michigan is going to squeeze it out at the end. And you go back and look at some of their games last year, no matter who it is in the Big Ten, it's a Rutgers, Maryland. Like, these games are hard to go win. They really are. But I do have Michigan squeezing in this game.
All right, fellas. The game. Last game of the year. You get Ohio State at home. And I just want, kind of want you to go last, like we did in the Ohio State one. I want to set the scene of if what I think is going to happen happens, what this game could mean. So right now, going into the last week, I've got Michigan at 9-2, which, and with one loss in the Big Ten, which means that if you win this game, you are 10-2, you are automatically in the college football playoff, and there's probably an 80 to 90% chance that you are in the Big Ten championship game because you'd have one Big Ten loss. It would be to Washington. If there was a tiebreaker with other teams, you know, they may usurp each other because they play each other. And then you have Ohio State. But if you lose this game, now you're 9-3. You really don't have a huge win. You're not making the college football playoff, most likely, and you're probably and definitely not going to be in the Big Ten championship game if it works out the way I think we think it's going to work out. So the whole season would hinge on the Ohio State Buckeyes coming into the Big House for you to try and beat them for the fifth year in a row. David, is that right? And we talked about this in our Ohio State preview. Obviously, Ohio State's pissed off. They haven't won this game in a while. We know the importance of this game. It kind of feels like the blemish on Ryan Day here lately, even after the run they went on to win the national championship. But Michigan's going to have this one to survive. I think Ohio State will not need this one to survive. I have Michigan winning it for the fifth year in a row at home because I think Ohio State presses again. And there's just something going on where if you care so much about something, it's like, what did Chris Farley say? When he's like, you get that rabbit, you squeeze him, you just love him so much. you pat him and you touch him and oh my God, he's dead. That's what it feels like.
God, you're sick.
With Ohio State.
Yeah.
That's why you need new brake pads.
Well, I feel like Ohio State hadn't been able to find the answer lately, but I think this year they do find the answer.
You have Ohio State?
I have Ohio State
okay.
in this game.
They're going to love to hear that.
I just think too much. I think they have too much offensively. And I know Michigan's defense have won these games. And I think this year, right, Brian Hartline approaches it a little differently. He's not going to turn around and say, you know what, we're going to out-tough Michigan's ass. We're tougher than these guys. Brian Hartline is going to play to his personnel. He's going to expand the field, right? He's going to get Michigan running east to west. I think it's going to be close, but I don't think Michigan offensively has enough this year to beat Ohio State.
Right now on my sheet, I have both of these teams coming into this game the last week of the season, right before Thanksgiving, at 10-1. Mm. And I just want everyone listening to appreciate what we've gotten to experience the last couple years. After a decade plus of dominance from one team in this rivalry, the Buckeyes, Michigan answered back, and we've gotten to see multiple years where these teams come into this matchup as top five teams. How cool is that? We've gotten to see multiple years when both of these teams come in undefeated. My first experience with college football, 2006, freshman year, they're number one, we're number two, we're both undefeated. The winner gets to go to the national championship, and they beat us in Columbus by 3 points. And guess what? We had to go to the Rose Bowl, and we were all disappointed. And Lloyd Carr said, don't ever be disappointed by going to the Rose Bowl. Now, granted, we went out there, and USC was pretty good that year, too, so
yeah,
they kicked their butts.
Yeah, they're good.
I got 10-1, both teams coming into this game in Ann Arbor. And like I told you in the Buckeyes preview, if Ohio State had beaten Michigan a year ago, I could say, okay, maybe this was a Jim Harbaugh thing. Jim Harbaugh figured it out. He went to the NFL, and maybe those glory days are over, and we're going to get back to some Buckeyes dominance. But a year ago, when Michigan only threw the ball for, what, 60 yards, they found a way to beat the eventual national champions. This year, you get them in the Big House. I've got Michigan right now. That puts them at 11-1. Do I feel wow. crazy? Yes. I think 9.5 is a good over-under win total number. 9-10, that seems right. I'm just checking and X-ing down the schedule and calling it like I see him. Like I said, Chad Henne, as a true freshman, was able to lead a team to the Rose Bowl and to go play Texas. I think that Bryce Underwood and Sharon Moore can figure out a way to do that this year.
I appreciate you saying that, but I also appreciate you saying Ohio State. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, wow. Well, that one.
We'll edit that out.
No. It's
I'm friends
forever.
With the editor.
I've got Michigan at 10-2.
Okay.
I've got Michigan at 10-2. You've got them at
10-2.
10-2.
And your losses are, just remind me, you got
Oklahoma, Ohio State.
Oklahoma, Washington.
Washington. Okay. The last thing I want to say is What is the state of Michigan football post Jim Harbaugh? 8-5 a year ago. 8-5 is never good enough in Ann Arbor. Everyone knows that. But let's just put some context around it. The year after a national championship winning team, the year after you send 14 guys to the NFL and all these seniors who came back, they leave. You go 8-5, but in the middle of that, you find a way to beat your biggest rivals. You find a way to beat the eventual national champs. You find a way to beat Alabama, and you sign the highest rated recruit in program history. 8-5, still not good enough. But that was the building year for 2025 for you to showcase to the world you are still and always will be a premier brand in college football.
Yep. You went 8-5 with a quarterback who threw 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
That's low-key insane.
Yeah, that actually is. That's border. I mean, it's impressive. In a weird way, it's impressive. All right, let us know in the comments. What do you think? What's Michigan's record going to be? Got some more great predictions coming out later in the week. We got LSU coming up. We got Auburn coming up. We got your team coming up eventually. We appreciate you joining us. Like the chances of me not being excited about seeing if Ohio State can get revenge on Michigan this year. We're going.
Oh, you dropped it on Michigan. Redo.
Incomplete.
No, let it ride. We call it straight up.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.